This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We've got Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth, Chapter 11, on the way. Alibi Jones climbing down a mountain. Following a mountain stream as it turns into a river, leads back to civilization. And he's also thinking back to one of his last conversations with his Aunt Anita, back at the Hornet's Nest. So he's got stuff on his mind as he's making his way down the mountain. That's what we're going to pick up on as we get into Chapter 11, our work in progress, this draft edition of Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth. It's on the way. And actually, this chapter, I think, is pretty well refined. It's well beyond first draft at this point. I've gone through it a few times. Gotten some feedback on it, too, on a few things. And it also reflects kind of a general rewrite that's going on, thanks to some of my beta readers. Thanks to Keith Hughes, actually bringing some stuff up. So, yes, it's reflected in here, if you're listening. Thank you, Keith. He's a good beta reader. Been very helpful. I've gotten some feedback, too, from some of my other beta readers on some of the earlier parts of the book, so getting some good feedback. Doing some rewriting and tweaking and I don't know, it just makes it a better book, you know? Well, you'll hear it. You'll hear the chapter. This is a work in progress, like I say so. Things could still change between now and the finished version, but this chapter, I think, is coming along pretty good. Chapter 11. And I actually gave it to patrons early. If you're a patron of mine, you got to just get the chapter. Once I finished it, I uploaded it there. It said, here, have it. I got to give you something early, you know, give you some good stuff. And that's what I do. If you're a patron of mine, you can become one by going to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And Patreon is a site that allows you to give them your credit card, and then they charge you once a month for any of the creators you support, because there's a lot of different creators on there. So some people get on there, give them their card, and then they support, you know, four or five different creators each month, which is cool. I look for either $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month, and I have different membership tiers. You get different things depending on your, you know, level of signing up. At that $2 level, of course, you are thanking me for this podcast and helping support it, and you'll get these episodes early when I do that. At the slightly higher level, $5, you're going to be getting the access to the archives and all the past episodes, because a lot of these podcast things, aggregators, I guess we call them, places you get your podcasts, they only hold about 100. And on my own like home site, it goes back about 250 episodes, 300 into the 300s, back into the early 300s. But the archives get you access to all of them, back to the very first episode in September of 2006, and it's bad. I've gotten better as I've gone along, at least I hope so. But that's part of what you get as a patron, is you get access to those archives, so you can hear those embarrassing shows, if you so desire. So please think about becoming a patron, $2, $5, or 10 bucks a month. My thanks to those who are patrons already. I do have a few in there helping me to pay for hosting fees and website fees, and man, they just keep going up too. They don't go down. Again, to do that, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Now, speaking of the book we're listening to, Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth, it will be coming out at the end of May, Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to be launching it and releasing it as part of Balticon. That's the big science fiction convention that takes place at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore every year, Memorial Day weekend. I've been going for many years because it has a big new media component. We go down there and a lot of the people that have been doing podcast fiction since those early days, like me, people who actually predate me, because I was like second wave or something, I don't know. Anyway, Balticon is the place. Balticon 54 is on its way. It's Memorial Day weekend. Baltimore, Maryland. Go to balticon.org to get more details about the show itself. But yeah, I've reserved my hotel room, signed up for panels, reminded them I've got the book launch coming, and so we're on our way. That's my big thing this year, too. I'm kind of staying away from anything before that, even though there's a couple shows I'd like to be a part of. I just don't think it's smart to. I need to kind of focus on getting this book out. That's all I got for chit-chat, talk, and news, so I'm going to get us into Chapter 11 of Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story.
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah. My characters are giving me trouble.
Well, then what about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Perfect.
The Melting Potcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything, from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!
Now here's Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth, Chapter 11, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi made his way downstream, descending the wooded mountainside. He spotted the road he'd walked from town yesterday ahead. It approached, then paralleled the growing river as it continued downhill. Good sign. He decided to continue along the riverbank instead of climbing up onto the pavement. Less chance of being seen. He didn't know when the safe crews hanging out over the mountain would be stirring. His thoughts went back to Finder as he walked. Why am I doing this for him, anyway, for Finder? There really isn't anything I'm looking for. Nothing I need Finder to find for me. Plus, the more I find out about Starseeds, the less I want to put one in Finder's hands. And something else to consider. What if there isn't anything Finder needs to find for me, because I actually needed to find the Starseed for myself? Maybe Finder found me something I didn't know I needed. That made his head hurt. A mental pretzel knotted up by logic. He now knew starseeds were rare, so valuable as to be nearly priceless. Hunting for this one had already led to a couple of encounters he'd rather have avoided, one with a shady treasure hunter, the other with a wealthy and powerful collector. Both possessed rather chilling, immoral outlooks. It wasn't a big stretch to imagine either of them as Finder's client. He didn't want the starseed in their hands either. The Archmage had given him much to consider, along with his gift. No wonder he was getting a headache. Alibi realized he'd better get out of his head and pay more attention to his surroundings. The sounds of the stream, gurgling, splashing along beside him, the sunlight coming through the treetops far above, creating its dance of light and shadow on the ground. That smell of dirt that Edward said was simply nature flooded his senses. Hard not to relax. It's beautiful up here. But I can't. Have to remember, I'm being hunted. I get why my aunt wants her arboretum. Have to grab her something soon. It had been a while since Alibi had seen his aunt. They hadn't spoken much recently. Their last discussion hadn't been great. At the time, she had just started construction on her arboretum. He stopped by to see it, expecting a big room, maybe some kind of greenhouse. He walked in to find, instead, an enormous cave. He found her surveying the space. "It's a start," she said to herself. "Start of what?" Alibi said as he walked up behind her. She turned. "An arboretum," she said. She gave him a look, semi-exasperated. "An arbor what?" He joked. "I'm sorry, Aunt Anita. I know you've told me before. I didn't expect this, though. Seems big." "I need the space," she said, "to grow large plants. Trees, shrubs, all kinds of growing things." "An arboretum, huh?" Alibi said. "It's really a garden, isn't it? Why not just call it a garden?" "Because it's enclosed," Anita said, and moved on. "I've wanted to do this for a long time," she said, "or at least thought about doing it, inspired by an old teacher of mine." "Really?" "Von Kilner built one in the project's first asteroid base," Anita said. "I've always wanted my own. If I'm stuck here, I might as well make the most of it." Alibi looked hurt. "What?" Anita asked. "Stuck?" Alibi said. "You know what I mean," she said. She frowned. "This is a pretty big space," Alibi said, changing the subject. "Krish helped me carve it out," she said. "What?" Alibi laughed. "By himself?" "He programmed bots," she said. She frowned at him. "What did you do with all the rock?" he asked. "Can't use it for planting, unfortunately, but Krish said there were plentiful raw materials and rare elements in the rock. He also said beyond that, any leftovers would help fill his countermeasure canisters for base defense." Alibi smiled as he shook his head. "Nothing goes to waste, huh?" "Can't waste anything out here," she said. He could hear it in what she was saying, and not saying. Stuck. Out here. "What's the matter?" she asked. "Nothing," he lied. "I just wanted to let you know I'm heading out for a couple weeks."
"You are?"
"I'm trying to track something down."
"Oh," she said. "I'd heard Finder visited. Is this something for him?"
"Well," Alibi said, "sort of." She stared at him. He knew that look of judgment. She was not pleased. "You have responsibilities here, Alibi," she said.
"I know," he said. "I won't be gone long."
She didn't say anything, but continued to stare at him. He hated that. It always made him say too much. He couldn't keep his mouth shut under her glare.
"This could be good for us," Alibi insisted. "If I find this thing for Finder, he'll owe us. Owe me."
She frowned. "Alibi," she said, then paused. After a glance down, she looked up, eye to eye. "I think Finder is just an excuse."
"An excuse for what?" Alibi protested.
"To run off and leave the hornet's nest, of course," she said. "Run away from your responsibilities."
"But," Alibi said, gathering his thoughts, I'm not running away. I'll be right back. You'll be here. Emily is here. You don't need me."
"Don't we?" Anita smiled. To Alibi, it looked like pity. "Maybe you're needed here more than you know."
"Really?"
"Emily tells me we're seeing new people arriving here," Anita said. "Every day."
"We've been letting some people in," Alibi said. "Ships and crews that have reasons to avoid the Solar Alliance."
"This used to be a secret base," she said. "But we haven't exactly been hiding lately."
"What's your point?"
"The Hornet's Nest is changing, Alibi. You know it is. Emily told me you've hired a few people to work security."
"Well, yeah," Alibi said. "But they were people who wanted to stay here and needed work. When they checked out on background, we gave them jobs to do. Some of them are kinda security, but they also help out loading and unloading in the bays."
Anita sighed. "Look around, Alibi," she said. "Open your eyes. And don't be so thick." He frowned.
"You're in charge of a growing base," she said. "Adventures are fine, but look around you. You need to be here. Your place requires your presence."
"It's our place," he said. "It might be in my name on some dock somewhere, but it doesn't belong only to me. It belongs to all of us. Me, You, Emily, Krish, everybody. That's sweet, Allie, she said. He bristled at the use of his childhood nickname. He would not be manipulated by her now. His frown straightened out and he turned to leave. Keep an eye on our place, Alibi said. I'll be back. Alibi. He left his aunt's admonition in his name hanging in the air as he walked out of her future arboretum. Even if she hates being stuck out here, she shouldn't take it out on me. He and his aunt were clashing on lots of things, more than they used to. Lately, he hadn't felt like confiding in his Aunt Anita very much. Too much friction. On everything. Maybe she was pissed I had a reason to leave. Not that I needed to go. He smiled to himself. Everything worked out fine anyway. I don't need to be there all the time. And I've been on several more adventures since without incident. Alibi's wandering thoughts turned back to his hike down the mountain. Just don't want to get caught here. Alibi stopped and looked for signs of pursuit. He scanned the woods and stared across the river, searching the trees for any sign of movement. Can't tell if I'm near town yet or not. Speaking of telling, his aunt didn't like to think he had these gifts. How am I going to tell her about the archmage under the mountain? Maybe I can't. Just thinking about it, I can hear her scoff. There are times I wish she was right, that it was only my imagination. But I have to keep my mental doors, my double doors shut to keep the world closed out. That's not make-believe. Both Krish and I know she's wrong. Of course, Aunt Anita never knows she's wrong. Working in close proximity these last few months hadn't necessarily brought out the best in any of them. He'd even seen conflicts between Anita and Krish. His Aunt Anita and Krish had been colleagues for years, decades, at the project, but each went their own way long ago. Both had their own manner of doing things. Each was accustomed to giving orders, usually unquestioningly obeyed. A bit of friction resulted as they both attempted to settle into new ways as residents of the Hornet's Nest. Then there was his friction with them both. Alibi ran the Hornet's Nest his way, loosely, the way he used to lead his crew. But as much as she talked about his responsibilities, from the second she'd gotten there, his aunt had kind of stepped in and taken over. Assumed command, with the emphasis on assumed, and Krish often treated him like he was still a teenager, not the leader of the Hornet's Nest. Anyway, I still miss them. Well, kind of. Alibi laughed to himself. Definitely time to head home. Wish I was there now, already, instead of nowhere Vermont. There's no starseed here. And the other one, if there is one, is still lost. Back to square one. Alibi turned to look up at the mountain. The three Solar Alliance cruisers above the mountaintop moved around methodically in short paths in the sky above the ridgeline. Crews must have woken up. Looks like they're scanning for some sign of me on or within the mountain. How did they find out I was here? He walked on, staying with the river and off the road, in case the Solar Alliance had troops on the ground as well. That worked until the road and river intersected at an old covered wooden bridge. Alibi paused at the edge of the tree cover. The woods faded back from the riverside. He surveyed the scene and considered his next steps. He'd have to step out into the open and cross the road, the bridge, or the river. The good news? He remembered this bridge and where it was. He was only a couple of miles from the small town near the base of the mountain. Wasn't much of a town. Old meeting house, small park. One everything store with a combo cafe and a transport hub. Dunstan's Gore? Maybe, not sure I remember that name right. Not many people there when I came through yesterday. Alibi stopped. He heard something above the babbling of the river beside him. Voices. He pulled back behind the trees and watched two figures dressed in Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, SAIF, safe uniforms, emerge from the covered bridge, talking. They are here. I need to be gone. Find my travel cube and get going home. Alibi crept back into the woods, back uphill. When he felt he was out of earshot of the safe troops, he made for the river's edge. There, he took off his boots and socks, rolled up his pants, and stepped carefully across to the other side, using rocks and fallen trees to keep from getting in too deep and completely soaked. After putting the river between himself and the safe troopers, Alibi put his boots and socks back on. With wet pants but dry footwear, he started back along the river, past the bridge. Alibi stayed under tree cover as he continued to work his way towards Dunstan's Gore, keeping alert for any safe troopers as he walked into town. There were a few other travel cubes parked at the Everything Store nub when he arrived the day before. He'd pulled into a 3-day spot. It was only day 2. Should still be there waiting. It wasn't rented in his name. Hopefully the safe hadn't yet figured out it temporarily belonged to Alibi Jones. Could be as simple as walking up, jumping in, and flying away. Wouldn't that be nice? As he arrived in Dunstan's Gore, Alibi discovered he wasn't going to be able to easily determine whether or not the safe had figured out if the travel cube at the Everything Store belonged to him. It didn't look good. Next to the row of cubes, a group of safe troopers milled about, alongside 2 armored transports. They didn't seem to be paying any attention to the travel cubes, however. Instead, it looked to Alibi like the store's parking lot had been turned into the safe's on-the-ground mobile command center. That was Chapter 11 of Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. What you gonna do, Alibi Jones? Yeah, that kind of sucks. You come walking into town, think you're just gonna hop in your travel cube and fly back down to Logan, and no. There they are, all milling about. Of course, he hasn't spotted the aliens among the safe troops yet. Yeah? You better come back next week, find out what I'm talking about. That'll be in our next episode, Alibi trying to get to his travel cube and get the hell out of town. Get out of Dodge. Chapter 12 of Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth will be coming. And that'll be coming your way next weekend on Glow in the Dark Radio. Remember, you can support this podcast. Just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and become a patron. For $2, $5, or $10 a month, and support the podcast. Get early chapters, access to free audiobooks, lots of exclusives for patrons only, lots of early previews, and in general, you help me pay for hosting, for websites, and for the podcast, and help me get my fiction out there. And for those of you who already do that, many thanks. So join for $2, $5 or $10 a month at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And remember, this book will be launched, released Memorial Day weekend, launched at Balticon, Balticon 54. So if you want to find out more about Balticon and maybe join me at that convention, go to balticon.org. Memorial Day weekend on the Inner Harbor in Baltimore, Maryland. Balticon.org. Well, I hope you'll be back for our next episode and our next chapter, Chapter 12, as our first draft, well, like I was explaining, a little bit deeper into the drafts now, but the work-in-progress version of Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth continues on Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you for listening. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.